Welcome to the Sterling Foursquare Church podcast. Our mission is to offer hope for the broken, lives that are thriving, the equipping of believers, and the launching of leaders. More info can be found at sterlingfoursquare.com. Thank you for joining us today.
Amen. Well, you are loved. You are loved. The apostle, the disciple John, he always started his letters with beloved. He's talking about the church, and he says to you this morning, beloved. You know, and John, funny thing about John is, you know what he said about himself? The disciple whom Jesus loved. That's what he called himself. I think that's funny because he became a man of love. And when we understand the love of God for ourselves, then it's just natural and easier for us to love each other. We're in a series called A Life of Passion. And so whenever we do a series, whenever we teach, whenever we start a series and I'm supposed to teach, I have to start with me. And that's so dang hard. I have to say, do I have passion? What am I teaching about passion if I don't have it? Do I have it? Do I have it? And then I can relate it to you. But then I have to do this soul-searching thing. Do I have passion? And if not, what's in the way? And that's where I got to start. And I want to start that. I want to start there this morning with you. Do you have passion? When we're doing a series on passion, we want you to get passion. But well, first we have to start with us. Do I have passion? And if not, why? And what's in the way? So that's where I start. And so last week we did these. How many were here last week? Remember, Ben practically started the stage on fire? That was my favorite part. I was watching all the teenagers. They were kind of hoping that you'd start your shirt on fire. But and it came pretty close a couple of times. So there's these flashpoints. That was what he was talking about last week. Remember? Flashpoints, times in our lives when God moves and it turns us into more of a life of passion. And as we look back on our lives, as we remember those times when God has moved in our lives, that has turned us more into a life of passion, we've got to remember those things. And so when I'm asking myself, why don't I have passion? It's a lot of times it's because I've forgotten the flashpoints in my own life. I've forgotten those times. And so I want to recall again, I want to kind of do just a little intro on last week's message. A first service, I did a 30-minute intro and a 10-minute message. And so I thought maybe I'd change that this service. We have to remember what God has done. Let's start there. I want you to bring to remembrance those flashpoints in your life. I've walked with some of you, even only just 3 years, and I've seen little points along the way, paramount times in your life, where God has moved, where God has answered your prayers, where you have cried out for God's help, and he has answered your prayers. And those are flashpoints. I loved last week when Ben was going back through his life and talking about, even when he was a young boy, how he could now see where God was at work. Sometimes when we're little boys or little girls, we miss that until later we stop and we look back. And one of the biggest sins of the entire nation of Israel in the Old Testament was that they had forgotten the flashpoints. They had forgotten what God has done. When we forget what God has done in our lives, then our passion just kind of dies out. But when we intentionally stop, oh my gosh, when I was a little boy, this happened. And then I could see that. And then I got married. And then I have children. And then my children grew up. And then my children moved on. And then now they have grandchildren. And whatever your story is, if you think hard enough, you'll see those times where God has met you. And it will ignite, that was the title of the message last week, the passion in your life. It will ignite the passion in your life. If you're struggling with passion, go back and remember those times, those flashpoints where God moved in your life. Bring them to remembrance. Write them down. And in your hard times, Start thanking God for those times in your past where God moved. And you can trust that he's going to move again in the future. So that's where I go when I'm asking myself, do I have passion? And why not? And what's in the way? What's stopping me from having a life of passion? So then as we look at some of the Old Testament characters and the New Testament people, we see flashpoints in their life. Moses in the burning bush, Jacob, when he wrestled with God. There's a guy named Jacob in the Old Testament, and he was a deceitful person, very deceitful. And yet when he wrestled with God, God changed him, and from that moment on, it was a flashpoint in his life. So not only do we look at our own lives and say, where were the flashpoints in my life? But as we read scriptures, we see every great man and woman of God had flashpoints, not just at the start, but throughout their lives. And we look at those, and not only do we look at, like I said, the things in our life, but we allow the people and the characters of the Bible to mentor us, if you will. There's not a great man and woman of God in the Bible that doesn't have flashpoints. That doesn't have those points, when those paramount times when God turned them. And he wants to do that for us as well. Okay? So John the Baptist said this of Jesus. He said, he is coming to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So when I think of passion, I think of fire. Did we have flames? Yeah, we do. So when I think of the passion of God, I think of the fire of God. When the fire comes into our lives, guess what it does? It burns up all those things that are inconsistent with his nature. Just gone. And as we continue to walk with God and we continue to seek God and we continue to get close to God, he burns up some of those things that are inconsistent with his nature. And then whatever's left over, he sets on fire for the kingdom's purposes. That's how he works. That's passion. That's that red hot passion of God. And it comes from spending time with him alone. It comes from saying yes to Jesus on a consistent basis. It comes from, like I said, reading the word of God. It comes from learning to follow the Holy Spirit. So I'm just going to read a couple psalms because I think David was a man of passion. Psalm 63. When I read this, I thought, oh my gosh, this is a passionate psalm. And it says, oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land. Have you ever been in a dry and thirsty spiritual, emotional place in life? We long for a drink from the Lord. Where there's no water, so I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and to your glory, because your loving kindness is better than life. I love David because he's passionate. He's a man on fire for the Lord. When I was younger, I thought I knew everything. I was so smart. When I first got saved, I didn't grow up in a church where we talked about the Lord in very personal ways, and I didn't have any personal transformation in the church I grew up in. So when I got saved, I was kind of zealous. I was kind of like Paul, was like, just run over people. And of course, I had to go back and repent of all those things and all those things that I said back in those days. But the things, as I've grown older, the things I know are less. I now think I know less. I just know this little iceberg about God, the tip of the iceberg. Where when I was 19, I thought I knew everything. And but the things I do know, they go really deep. So there's this one little point I want to make here that makes me passionate, is because I understand some of the very simple things of God go the deepest. The love of God, which is long and high and deep and wider than I ever expected. I'm still figuring out the love of God for myself and then for others. The faithfulness of God. As I've looked back on my life at this point and this point and this point and this point, God was there. And what does that make me passionate about my future? Because I know he will be there as well. Okay? So, that was still a pretty long introduction, wasn't it? Sorry. I used to apologize for who I am, but God created me so weird. I just have to accept it. When you learn to accept who you are, then you just have a lot more authority and power, because that's who God created you to be. Let me read you some scriptures about God's passion for you. Sometimes if we need passion, we have to understand that God is passionate towards us. 1 John chapter 3 says this, "See what great love the Father has lavished upon you that you should even be called Son of God." He loves you. He's passionate. This is love, not that you loved him, but that he loves you. He loves us because we love him because why? Because he first loved us. That's another scripture. And the word of God is a fire. And let these scriptures just kind of kindle in your spirit this morning. It will ignite a passion in your life. And Paul says to the church in Ephesus, he says, "I pray that you, being rooted and established in his love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how high and long and wide and deep is his love for you, and that to know this love that surpasses all knowledge, that you will be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." So, wow, you're going to be filled with the measure of everything that's the fullness of God. How do I get filled up with the fullness of God? By grasping how great his love is. That's another thing for me when I am passionless, is because I'm not quite getting how much he's passionate towards me. And he talks about the Lord towards us is jealous. Have you ever been jealous? Jealousy at one stage in my life about drove me, I don't know what the correct term is, but I'm going to just use the C word, crazy. Jealousy, the book of Proverbs says, will make you mad. But anyway, jealous. God is jealous for your devotion. He's jealous for you. He's jealous for your wholeheartedness. He's jealous for your single-mindedness. He has a plan for your life. He loves you. When we get that, then we'll be able to love others. When we understand that. Okay? So again, that was a pretty long introduction. So I don't know what all the points in there were, but I hope you got some of them. So this week, I decided to entitle my message, Bridled. And at first I thought, well, that's kind of a restrictive word, bridling our passion. But, you know, sometimes passion needs bridled. Did you know that? Oh, my gosh, passion out of control is not good. In fact, if you Google passion, the word passion, in a concordance in the Bible, most of the passion it's talking about there is not good. So we know that passion out of control, not bridled, is not good. It's like a forest fire just burning through the woods. You know, and the United States this year alone, we have burnt 1.4 million acres. So that's like unbridled passion. So anyway, I wanted to tell you this story. You up for a story? Okay. All right. So I went to the fair this year to play a little music at the fair. And so they let me get in the back gate. So I drove my little car in through the back gate where all the rock star country and western music people are and all the cowboys and serious cowboys, by the way. And so anyway, I set up my little thing, and I played some music there by the cotton candy machine, and I didn't get to play on stage, but I was, maybe that's next year. So anyway, as I was leaving the fair, I had to cross the entrance to the barrel racing, and there were these gals on these horses that I'm telling you, I had never seen this big of a horse, this passionate of a horse, just like, I can't explain it to you. They're like, I thought they were going to jump on my car. And they were like, man, they were just like these beautiful, big animals. And this little gal up there in her tight jeans, and she was just like, man, she had that thing bridled. And I'll tell you what, when she gave that horse the go-ahead, it just like, pow! And so there was this little alleyway, and I was had my car parked here, and I was like, how do I get across this anyway? So she takes off, and then I go, and before I even got across the alleyway, she was done. And she, man, and it's like, I'm not a cowboy, but I did ride the merry-go-round once when I was a kid on a horse. But I got to thinking, okay, and it's always interesting how the Lord kind of stacks up my messages, because it's like, I don't want to call this message bridled, but then I got to thinking of that story, how this passionate horse, if it didn't have a bridle, it could be dangerous. It could just run like a wild horse through the, you know. And I was watching a movie even this week about how there actually are still wild horses in like the Grand Canyon area. And they just run, and they're mean and wild. And yet, and so for our personal lives, as I want to talk about being bridled in our passion for the Lord. And so how do we do that? Without quenching the Holy Spirit, without shutting it down, how do we bridle it so that it's productive and fruitful? Well, some of the very simple answers, like we always give you, the Word of God bridles our passion. It's like, hold it. This passion needs some boundaries. This fire needs boundaries. This flood needs boundaries. Floods are horrible things. They're destructive. But water in a channel fills up the reservoirs, irrigates land. Fire is, without fire, we wouldn't have cars, and we wouldn't have a lot of the products, and we wouldn't have electricity. But its passion of God has to be bridled from time to time, okay? I think that's my biggest message, is that God wants you to be passionate with a purpose and with a plan. And he has a plan, and it's the Word of God. He has a plan, and it's the Holy Spirit. He has a plan, and it's the you and I meeting together and bumping shoulders and sharing life together. And me saying to you, you know what? I think your passion's out of control here in this area. And you saying that to me at times. Oh, that doesn't line up with the Word of God. Oh, I feel like the Spirit of God, I think you need to go back and let the Lord lead you on this one a little more. So, without a plan, without purpose, your passion just runs havoc, okay? And when I was younger, like I said, unfortunately, I felt like the Lord told me to go back and apologize to so many people because I was so zealous for God that I kind of ran over people. I burnt a few bridges. I don't like organized church. As you can tell, my messages are not organized. And organizational things to me, I was so critical of it. And now it's like, I have to go back and say, wait a minute. Nobody told me to bridle that passion early on as a Christian. So, what is my one point today? My one point is that God wants you to be passionate with a purpose and with a plan. Say that with me. Passion, purpose, plan. I don't know if you know that, but they all start with P. And that he loves you. If you're passionless, go back. Go back and look where God has moved. Go back and see where God has answered your prayers. When I am passionate, I become single-minded towards God. I become wholehearted towards God. In Jeremiah, it says God's word is a fire. There's times when I read the scripture and I think, yeah, I don't want to do that. And I need to. Yeah, I need to obey that word. And I need to let that word bridle me, but I don't want to. You know, we were talking last week also about, Ben was saying, it's as simple as saying yes. Many times, our passion, it's just as simple as saying yes. Well, let me give you some bad news. When you say no, you get to go around the mountain, and guess what? You come right back to that same intersection. Oh, and you don't want to do it now either. 20 years later, it's still the same intersection. You still got to learn. And listen, I've walked with the Lord 40 years, and that doesn't make me real old, but it makes me old enough to know that God is faithful and that He loves you. And when you say yes, even if it doesn't pencil out, it eventually does. It eventually does. When you say yes to God, by faith, when it doesn't pencil out, He will ignite a passion in your heart because He'll come through. He won't let you down. Amen. So many times, I've made the wrong choice. Went around the mountain and come back, asked God's forgiveness, and made the right choice. And that's what it takes to be a passionate man of God, ongoing, is to come back and say yes, even when you've said no before. Okay? I don't have a clock that's ticking down, so it's like I'm unsure what how long this is supposed to be. So I think I'm done. And I'm supposed to have this really clear off-ramp, but I never do. Let's review. God wants you to be passionate with a purpose and a plan. Can you take that home with you? Okay. You understand that sometimes God has to put a bit on you and bridle you a little bit. Because if passion gets out of control, it's like a fire that just burns. It's like a flood that just ruins a town. It's like a horse that just runs wild and it's going nowhere. Okay, and that's not what God wants for our lives. He wants you to be bridled a bit. He wants you to know His word. He wants you to understand the leading of the Holy Spirit. And He wants you to bump shoulders with each other that we might sharpen each other. Okay, throughout life. Okay, so come on up, worship team. We're going to go over some action steps. The children's workers always love it when I preach because it's short. It's like, okay, Bob's preaching today. We've got 10 minutes less than every other week. Let's take a look at these action steps. If you would like, you can take a picture of them. God desires that we don't just drift along. There's a scripture that says, you know, I'm going to come and do this, and I'm going to go do that, and I'm going to go do this. And the Lord says, what you ought to be saying is, if the Lord wills, if the Lord wills, I'll do those things. We need to be a little more intentional about our lives. Ask the Lord to show you. Seriously, ask the Lord. Spend time with God in quiet. Shut the door. Ask God. God, what areas of my life are just drifting along? What areas of my life have no purpose or plan? And then number two, ask God for a Bible verse that you can hang on to and memorize that will solidify that in your lives. Okay? Let's stand and pray. God, forgive us when we just drift along. God, forgive us when we don't even seek out your plan, that we have all these selfish ambitions and we just do our own thing all the time, that we're not submitted to anyone. God, forgive us. We know those aren't your ways. God, we want to know your word. We want to understand the moving of your Holy Spirit. God, we want to do things your way. We want to have passion with a purpose and a plan in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Say this with me. Passion.
Passion.
With a purpose.
The purpose.
And a plan.
And a plan.
Okay. Have an awesome week.